You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Any friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Every day's a good day to talk about your rights, but today feels really good, you know? Hey, Celine, how are you?
I'm good. It is a good day to talk about it.
It is. As we know, renting is a bit of a shit show out there in Aotearoa at the moment. It's expensive. It's tricky. There's not a heap of laws supporting you. And we've got some questions from the listenership today. Somebody has texted in to say, "Hey, Celine, my property manager has just stopped replying to my texts and emails. It's really weird because he's usually super responsive. Maybe he's on holiday? Who knows, lol. It's not my problem. We need a window latch at my flat fixed ASAP. Any advice for getting his attention? Should I just stop paying rent? Joking, not joking."
Well, me not joking, don't stop paying rent, because that...
Could get you in trouble.
Could get you in big trouble. Yes. So I haven't been able to kind of work out a particular timeline where you're like, this is too short, this is too long in terms of an actual reply. There may be an answer to that that I don't know. But basically, firstly, I would say... How most of this is thought about is that there's responsibilities for the tenant and then there's responsibilities for the landlord, the property manager, etc. One of your responsibilities is that you tell them as soon as something breaks and you keep paying rent. So keep doing those things and keep receipts of all of it. Maybe try and keep communication with them in writing too. Just think about showing that you've followed your side of the bargain if something happens later.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, I would say. The other one is... if you're not getting a... basically, if you have a landlord or a property manager that goes overseas for more than 21 days, they have to put a new agent in place for you. So if you have a landlord that disappears for a few months, you need to have someone else that you can contact. In this case, I would say one of the things you can do is, again, just keep your receipts, but you could issue a 14-day notice to remedy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you can do if you're just not hearing back, you're not getting any movement on an issue. That has legal ramifications for them.
Yeah.
You can find the details for that on tenancy services, call them about that. If it is something that is, for example, not sure about that latch situation, but potentially security of the home, then that's something that you could look into fixing yourself and they would have to pay for it. So if it's a burst pipe, something that's causing damage to people, not a great sentence, causing damage to potential harm or health risks or damage to property, you can go ahead and do something to fix that first and then they have to reimburse you. But that's not often encouraged in lots of circumstances. So I would call tenancy services.
Also, as well. You know, it sounds like this person saying they've said they've emailed and texted.
Yeah.
So you've obviously tried a few different methods of communication. Definitely, if you are listening to this and it sounds, this is not you who texted in, but it sounds familiar to your situation, do send that email and that text before you go do the thing.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And then, you know, invoice your landlord, because you might get in trouble if you just go straight ahead.
Yeah, 100%. You want to maybe call Tenants Protection Association or go see the CAB, but basically you want to show that you've upheld your side of the responsibility. So take photos of the damage, date all that stuff, keep all those emails, show that you've reached out. If you've shown that you've made attempts to reach out, ongoing attempts to reach out, and they haven't replied, that's good evidence to show that you held up your side of the bargain, basically.
Fantastic. Hopefully that is helpful. What else have we got here, Stella?
Someone texted in, "Kia ora BFM, we have a flat cat which we didn't tell our landlord about when we moved in. He's now discovered her and is threatening to terminate our lease if we don't get rid of her. I've checked our rental agreement and there's literally nothing in it that says we can't have pets. Pets aren't even mentioned. Our rental agreement is a pretty loose one pager though, definitely not a government standard document. Are there any laws that we're inadvertently breaking here?"
Okay, the pet issue is an unfolding one. Okay, as usual, there's never one straight answer, and I'm also never completely sure. So,
here's the point where we say, don't forget to do your own research too. We're here to help, but we don't take our word for law.
I'm not a lawyer at all. I'm a geographer, so take that as you will.
Hell yeah, geography.
So everything's complicated, you know, it's all complex. Basically, even if you have a strange tenancy agreement, the Residential Tenancy Act is still the thing that supports you.
Okay.
So regardless of what's in that document, that is still supporting your rights.
So you can't sign away your legal rights with a contract that's been written up?
No. You cannot. So the pet thing is that if there was a no pet clause written into that, then you've broken that lease, basically. So that's a problem. But if there isn't, it's not great that you didn't say initially that you have a pet. So that should be part of the discussion initially, so they know that what's going on, what's happening in the house. But you haven't... It's a little bit of a tricky area where you've maybe... You've done something, but that's not a reason that they can say that they can break the lease. So basically, the RTA doesn't mention pets, so they're banned in boarding houses, but it doesn't have a mention that they're banned in other tenancies. You can't end a tenancy for this reason, apparently, the pet reason.
Cool.
But again, I would get actual advocates and like Tenants Protection Association to help you prove that. It's also kind of an unfolding situation how we're talking about it at the moment, and there's been a few cases in the Tenancy Tribunal where they've said that maybe landlords can't enforce a ban of pets at all.
Ooh.
So there's some changing stuff around this, and then we have the weird discussion about a pet bond, and there's a lot happening. But I would stand your ground, keep your receipts, and I would get a little bit more help maybe from community law or Tenants Protection Association, because they probably can't end the tenancy for that reason, and you haven't broken any specific thing. So there's been I would really check into that, but you haven't gone against a lease that says specifically no pets, so it's a bit more complicated than that.
Mm. Okay, thank you. That is helpful as...
Helpful-ish.
It is helpful. Hey guys, my landlord just dropped around unannounced at our flat. Haven't we all been there?
Yes.
And left like 20 giant paving stones in our garage. So expletive annoying. In our agreement, it doesn't say anything about him having use of the garage. What's your advice for getting him to move them?
Yes. Sorry, I think I snorted a little bit. Close to the
mic.
It's too real. It's strange that it would be the only place to store 20 giant paving stones.
Hey, what is a rental property if not somewhere to put landlords' bits and pieces?
Yeah. And money. Okay, so what